inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My guests on the podcast today have found a really unique niche that has turned out to be very lucrative. What they've been doing is buying properties and leasing them to an organization that provides housing to kids that are wards of the state. These kids have some kind of special needs, and the state has to provide housing for them. So the way it works is that my guests lease the property out to this organization that runs the house. And the great thing is that this organization signs a five-year lease. So they don't have any turnover costs, that they're not paying commissions to release the property, and they don't have any vacancy. The other great thing is the rent that they're able to charge the organization is about double what they could get if they rented the property on their own to a regular tenant. So this sounds very interesting. It sounds like it could be very profitable, and I want to learn more about it. So joining us on the show today from Kennewick, Washington, is Randy Hubbs. You probably remember Randy. He's been with us before, and today he's brought along his wife, Jana. So we're going to find out exactly what they're doing, exactly how this works. But first, let's take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Randy and Jana. When I'm doing research to buy a new rental property, there's a lot of different websites, apps, and then a spreadsheet that I use to do my analysis. It's really kind of a convoluted process. Well, there's a much easier way. There's an app called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. Ask Rick makes it really easy to find and analyze rental properties. You can see all the properties for sale in an area. If something looks good, you can press one button. It'll analyze the property for you. It'll figure out the rent amount. It'll figure out your mortgage payment, all your expenses, and give you your cash flow. If you're ready to move forward, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send the information over to your realtor to do some more investigation into the property. You can try it out for free right now. Just search for Ask Rick, that's R-I-C, Ask Rick in the App Store, or go to justaskrick.com. That's justaskrick.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Randy, you were with us in October, but for anyone that maybe didn't hear that interview or doesn't remember, why don't we start things off giving us a real quick 30-second overview of the type of investing you do?
Sure. We started over 40 years ago, actually. Both of us were teachers by choice. I was a band director and at a large high school, and Jana went the direction into special education, and both of us decided early on we did not want to retire on teacher salaries. So we both kind of came from real estate families, and so we started accumulating single family homes, single family home rentals. We were more focused on our careers. We called it our hobby for a long time, but we saw the power of that, and from there we decided we needed to get educated, and we went from there to small multifamily duplexes. Was our main sweet spot for a long time until we got Freddie and Fannied out, and then we needed to get educated to figure out how to do commercials. So after that, we started investing into multifamily apartment complexes. Post-crash 2008, we went in both feet and jumped in a bunch of other markets. And so we've expanded from there. So we've got some resort property, things like that. But our main whole purpose is in investment housing.
Jana, when Randy first came to you and had the idea that he wanted to invest, were you on board right away?
Absolutely. Yes, we've been on board before we were even married, as far as our first, what we refer to as our honeymoon cottage. We still have it as a rental, but both of us strapped on belts and remodeled that house, and then we ended up living in it. And we are cautious in what we do, but we also are not afraid to move forward either on different types of opportunities, and especially if they can help other individuals, you know, by putting a roof over their head and in a safe environment and that type of thing.
Great. Well, let's get into these special needs houses. So tell me what this is. Tell me exactly how this works.
Sure. Well, what we're doing is we're providing the housing portion to a company, which is state funded, that provides the food, water, shelter, all the needs for children with disabilities who are technically wards of the state. And so we're providing that stability for them in terms of the housing side of things. So that includes property management, putting things on a commercial lease to where they don't have the worries of a possible eviction from a landlord or something like that that would be, you know, sudden. So kind of in a nutshell,
So you're not actually providing any of the management of the house or caring for the kids. You're literally just providing the house, the actual physical house, right?
That's correct. Kind of in the same manner that assisted living or group housing might, or group homes might be, from the standpoint we're renting by the room. So by doing so, we're getting, you know, as much as or more than double market rents.
Wow. Okay. And then you have a long-term tenant in there. So it's not like renting by the room where you're going to have a lot of turnover. You're renting by the room, but you're really renting the whole house.
Well, and part of that is that figuring based on investors, then by doing it this way, it is by the room. But on the other hand, it's a one payment per month that never changes for the term of the lease. And that allows for insurance to be paid. It allows for any kind of make readies or that type of thing. And also a return to our investors.
Tell me about the house. So is there, like, if I was going to do this, and most of my rentals are three bedrooms, maybe one or two baths, would a house like that work for this? Or is there a certain type of house that you need to buy for to rent it this way?
What we're specifically providing right now to this particular agency, they are looking for 5 to 6 bedroom homes.
Okay.
So, and they have some fairly specific criteria that we need, or that they need, in terms of their ability to provide the adequate care, which I'm sure Jana can talk about in terms of their ability to, you know, monitor the home itself.
A large portion of this program is a therapeutic intervention. And so staff have to go through training on how to communicate with them, different distances or different ways to provide space and that type of thing. The other thing that is very important in a house like this is that there's not a need for really a master bedroom bath or anything, because that's non-essential. That's kind of a safety issue for an individual who may be in a crisis mode. But one of the things that is real important is that there's good visibility between the different either levels of the house, or there's visibility to where staff know what's going on at any given time, because cameras are not allowed in a home setting. Because of safety issues,
right,
you know, for the individual as well as for the staff. And so that's kind of the criteria in that regard. The other thing is that there's a fenced-in yard that the kiddos can go outside and play, get some fresh air, those types of things. And that it's in a neighborhood that is a safe neighborhood, so that you're not, you know, at risk of if an individual does bolt, that they're relatively safe from traffic, high traffic areas, trains, you know, those kinds of things. So we don't end up with injuries.
Right. Okay. All right. That all makes a lot of sense. Now, what do the neighbors think? I mean, do you ever have any problems with the neighbors that maybe they don't want a house like this next door to them?
Sure. That's a good question, because that's come up quite a bit in the different other types of providers, assisted living, things like that. But the reality of it is that they have every right to be there just like anyone else in a neighborhood. And but it's also the agency is sensitive to those situations, so they don't, there's no like signage or anything like outside the building that would make it appear that it's anything other than a normal residential neighborhood. So I think for the most part, once the neighbors that are close by understand the nature of the situation, it's really not an inconvenience or a problem, and they also are sensitive to that. So there really hasn't appeared to be any big problems with that.
Yeah. Now, when you are doing this, are you buying a house specifically that fits into the program, or are these rentals that you owned that you converted over to this?
We're specifically targeting their needs, and so therefore it's quite a search. There's a lot of homes that don't fit their need, and so we have to kind of go back to the drawing board each time to where we find something that's going to work. As Jana mentioned, you know, the ability that, particularly in the state we're in, there's no cameras allowed there are, that does change in various places, but that makes it limited. In terms of, you know, a rambler with a basement is not the optimum type of property, whereas, say, a California split, or obviously the best choice would be to have everything on a rambler or all on one level.
So give me some numbers. Like, so if you were just to rent this house out normally, how much would it rent for?
The most recent property we got stabilized and everything moving forward and lined up, we figured the market rent on that one was around $1,500 to $1,550 a month. And we're getting $3,125.
That's based incredible. On
the, you know, again, rent by the room kind of model. So usually around $500 a door or $600 a door, depending on what the, you know, home comes in terms of the price level.
Now, what would happen if, for some reason, this program stopped, or for whatever reason you couldn't do it anymore? Would your numbers still work if you had to take half the rent and rent it out traditionally?
Yeah, that would be pretty tight margins. Just largely, you know, everyone knows what's happened with the real estate market over the last few years, and so single family home rentals, you know, to try to get any kind of decent cash flow, you know, you've got to buy right from the front side. And so, you know, these would be break even at best if we were kind of in that situation.
Okay. Especially, okay.
But I think the other part to really take a look at is that there is such a shortage of available housing for individuals with disabilities that are in a program, or adults with disabilities. And oftentimes a lot of people, if they rent to the individual, they're nervous about the fact that there could be damage to the property or that type of thing. Where we are providing, we are opening up houses, we are finding houses and setting up property to where it is reasonable for an adult or an individual with a disability to move into that with the proper care and that type of thing. And a lot of people are not willing to do that.
Right. Okay.
They don't know how to do it. Because they don't have the patience, they don't have the understanding right. that, oh, a wall might get kicked in or something like that. And of course, they'll repair it. But sometimes people are a little too emotional or overreactive when it comes to a property that they have invested in as, you know, a typical rental and everything. Some people drive by and want to make sure that the lawn is clipped and to a certain level or whatever, you know, and they kind of freak out if right. things aren't quite the norm.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you're not responsible for any damage that are caused by the kids. Like you said, with the wall getting kicked in, that would... The agency would pay for that to fix any kind of damage?
Yes. That is correct.
Okay.
And it may not be fixed right away. If it's not a safety issue, it may be not be fixed right away because maybe they're working on a behavioral issue of that individual.
Right.
And until that kiddo is comfortable and is able to cope with its surroundings, the environment, the staff, and you know, various changes, things affect us in our, you know, in our regular daily life sometimes that create frustrations. And for an individual, sometimes with a disability, with a behavioral outburst or something like that, their response to a negative situation, a loud noise, a light, a change in furniture or that type of thing is different than what ours is. We might verbalize, "I don't like that." Their response might be physical, you know.
Sure. Interesting. Okay. Now, what about normal maintenance stuff? Like if the HVAC stops working or the hot water heater blows, is that your responsibility or are they fixing that?
No, we're really trying to take that off of their shoulders. They have a house manager in place and we provide the property management for that. So my property manager stays in direct contact with the house managers, and they know that, you know, if there's any problem whatsoever, to call us first, because we take out home warranties on each of the homes, and that helps to cover, you know, things like HVAC units and hot water tanks. And it was a difficult transition for these guys because in many cases, their prior landlords were kind of letting them do it and they didn't know any better. And so, you know, we told them that that's our responsibility. One of the things that we take care of. And so make sure you call us you know, so other things, oftentimes, like say if the gutters need to be cleaned out, things like that, that's not a home warranty issue, but we still want to make sure the house is well maintained. But they will generally take care of a lot of the small stuff just because they're just used to doing that.
Now, what about insurance? Now, I realize you're not an insurance expert and you're not giving anyone advice here, but do you need any kind of special insurance or is there more liability that you would have doing this versus renting to a family?
We have regular renter's insurance or regular insurance for a rental property or an investment property. And then the agency has insurance as well that protects or that insures them as far as their liability and overseeing of kiddos and that type of thing. So everything is covered.
Okay.
We don't have to take out any other insurance than just letting the insurance company know that this is an investment property and it is rented.
Okay. So your only costs are your debt service, any major repairs that might come up, your home warranty. What about utilities? Are utilities covered by them or is that your responsibility?
They pay all utilities.
Okay. So is there any other costs that you have?
You know, the only other cost is getting the facility up and ready to go. And so, you know, the last one that we got, it was a beautiful home, beautiful cabinets, a very nice layout. They had a pet, and so there was some pet odor in there. You know, we typically would put in vinyl planking in a facility like that. And then we completely repainted the interior. So on another house that we had, it was a 2 3/4 bathroom, and the 3/4 bathroom downstairs also had the air handler in the bathroom as well as the hot water tank. And so we had to actually create a wall there between them and a set of bifold doors that were louvered so that the HVAC unit could breathe. And then we had to provide a locking, you know, a safety latch on that so that the kids wouldn't get into that because that was a safety issue too. And the state inspects all of these things before the house is ready to go. So any of those kinds of modifications are on us on the front side.
Okay. And when there's any kind of turnover, like if a kid were to leave the property and a new kid comes in and maybe they've got to paint or something or clean up the room, is that their responsibility or would that cost fall on you?
They take care of all
okay.
that.
Okay.
Once they sign a 5-year lease with us and once that part starts, we never hear from them Like I said, unless we have some kind of a bigger issue. And oftentimes, you know, the big thing is just getting them trained to understand that it's okay to call us and we're not going to be upset because they've dealt with prior landlords apparently that, you know, have, you know, reacted emotionally. And, you know, we're trying to encourage them that, hey, that's our responsibility and we'll take care of it. So once we get them, you know, trained to do that, then it's a real smooth working, quick transition.
Now, these companies that manage these houses seem like they're a little bit elusive. I have a sister that's a social worker and she works with kids. And I was asking her if she knew of houses like this in our area. And she said that there are houses like that, but she didn't have any clue about who owned the houses or the organizations that run the houses. Like they're kind of a mystery. Is it like that in your area too, or is it easy to find these companies?
That I think that's a really good question. It is not easy to find these companies. Every single area tends to have agencies or individuals that set up a particular system. And although they have to follow guidelines, it may be named differently. They could be associated with another organization or that type of thing. And so just about any area that you walk into or go to, it makes it a little bit difficult to identify who they are and whether or not they're providing appropriate or adequate services.
If you've got any questions for Randy or Jana and you want to reach out to them, I'll go ahead and put their contact information on the website. Also, if you're an accredited investor and you're interested in investing alongside Randy and Jana in some of their deals, also feel free to reach out to them. Just go to rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 262. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you are looking to buy a rental property, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs. And what I love about Chaley is she will really take the time to understand what it is that you want to accomplish with your rental properties, and she will help you get there. If you want to set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe and you'll get notified as soon as we release new episodes. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.